looked around. I was like, I don't see it anywhere. And I looked up on a branch, like high up in a cedar, and it was totally the Stellar's Jay mimicking a red-tailed hawk. These Stellar's Jays were like pretending to be something they were not, kind of tricking the world. So it got me in this mindset that I could be something I was not.
With that newfound confidence, Dave got his running start. And nailed the trick.
From that point on, every time I see Stellar's Jays, I'm reminded of one of the scariest and happiest moments of my skateboard career so far. So, thanks, Stellar's Jays.
For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
This is Earth Riot Radio in New York City. I'm Reverend Billy. Earth Riot Radio comes from the Church of Stop Shopping. Listen, we have a wonderful bunch of friends in Portland who are dressing up like animals, and they're the most famous one being the frogs. I think that the frogs were the first wave, but now we have all kinds of different species of animals, the bears, the gophers, the giraffes. You just see all sorts of the uprising by the earth that is penetrating the defensive and fearful human governments. That is represented in a wonderful way there. Don't call them silly. You don't have to call them absurd. Actually, they are logical because they're the future. We're in the 29th month now, the 29th month of the global heat wave. Some people call it the first step in the sixth extinction. We have ecosystems and animals changing where they live by hundreds of miles. And certainly the animals are going to be in our lives in a way they have not been. Even as we try to kill them, and some of them are going extinct, many of them are going extinct. We have now, rising from our children's illustrated books, rising from our dreams, the connections that we have as animals to these agents of peace, radical peace. We embrace you, we welcome you, and we get in your costumes. We are honored to be representing you. Somebody give me an earth-alleluia. This is Reverend Billy. Let's work on our relationship to this playful, radical peace over the next 30 minutes, shall we? Somebody give me an earth-alleluia.
Outside the ice facility in the evening on whatever the day is, October. Can you guys let me know what you're here, why you're dressed as frogs?
Well, you know, the frog has become a symbol of what's going on down here. And so we decided to come support our friend Toad, who's been out here. You probably saw him on the news. And you know, he's a friend from another pond. And so we decided to come down here and show our support for the insane government overreach that's going on in this place, and the fact that they're calling Portland an explosive, fire-ridden sort of, you know, warland, which is not, because We're here.
Hi, okay. And what's specific about the frog? Is it because of the one guy who'd been in that costume before? Was there any other symbolism to it?
That's the reason, you know. He's an iconic symbol. You see, he's all over the internet now, so it only made sense that more frogs joined in, you know, in this fight.
Okay.
I grew up here in rural Iowa and grew up on the rivers a lot. Was deeply connected to the peace and joy and beauty that the river provided, particularly the Raccoon River. Grew up there swimming a lot, and I think I've carried that love with me like all of my life, and that respect for Mother Earth. And I've also witnessed the desecration and the pollution that that has occurred in my lifetime over the last couple of decades. And so when I started hearing about the pipeline, the message from the indigenous-led movement, which is water is life, really resonated deeply with me and in me and in my spirit and in my heart. And essentially the first way that I got plugged in was I supported a Lakota youth run, Lakota Dakota, and ran with the youths to D.C. And so that was a really like enlightening and inspirational time for me to learn about a different culture, a different tradition, and a different really like way in which to approach the world, which is understanding like that we're all connected, like all beings are connected. And I think that that really taught me a lot about what to prioritize in life. And it helped me reconnect with that like little child within me that just loved the water so much.
Kiba wants us to come down to the river and we will say something that she has not known, she has not heard. The river, the water carries the mystery to her. Well, we do it together, don't we? She invites us to do it with her, but it has to be at the river. Bjork is the ocean. In her song, Oceana, all of the instruments are her voice. She is the water. She's the water human, the water animal. I just came from the No Kings March here in New York, and there were 200,000 people. Water humans. We're all mostly water, shouting, shouting, shouting. Peace and justice. And I was preaching with the choir, the Stop Shopping Choir behind me singing, but every once in a while I experimentally shifted my preaching to the earth, to water. Agualuya, earthaluya. And that shift was, well, it's difficult to pull off. People didn't go along with me so much. They were into that delicious anger at Donald Trump, and I enjoy it too. And I'm desperate for it to succeed. But, well, water, air, sun, the elements, what we call the elements, they carry mystery to us. And we have that mystery to carry into politics, into nation states, into political positions. And that's never been done very well. Consumerism keeps mystery away. It only comes to consumer society in measured amounts in religion, maybe the arts, But we keep our distance from what we can't control. But now we have to. We have to find a way for mystery to come into us. The earth is coming, as we say. The earth is coming. The earth is coming. And the earth carries mystery. And it might come in the form of a superstorm, or a tornado, or a tsunami. It will carry mystery in a powerful way. We have to understand it. We have to face it and learn from it. Earthaluya.
Welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Ants make a series of clever architectural adjustments to their nests to prevent the spread of disease, University of Bristol research has uncovered. The study found the nests built by colonies exposed to disease had far more widely spread entrances and were more separated, with fewer direct connections between chambers. Study lead author Luke Leckie said, "This is the first time a non-human animal has been shown to modify the structure of its environment to reduce the transmission of disease. Ants possess a wide range of behavioral responses to disease that help form a social immunity, from removing disease-causing fungal spores with parts of their mouth and spraying exposed colony members with disinfecting poison, to germ-carrying ants self-isolating to protect the wider colony. Earth's magnetic field is vital to life on our planet. It is a complex and dynamic force that protects us from cosmic radiation and charged particles from the sun. It is largely generated by a global ocean of molten, swirling liquid iron that makes up the outer core around 3,000 kilometers beneath our feet. Acting like a spinning conductor, it creates electrical currents, which in turn generate our continuously changing electromagnetic field. Using 11 years of magnetic field measurements from the European Space Agency's Swarm satellite constellation, scientists have discovered that the weak region in Earth's magnetic field over the South Atlantic, also known as the South Atlantic Anomaly, has expanded by an area nearly half the size of continental Europe since 2014. Female mountain gorillas, like humans and a handful of other mammals, can live long past the birth of their last offspring. Drawing on over three decades of life history and behavioral data, the study shows that nearly one-third of adult female mountain gorillas from four wild groups in Bwindi Impenetrable National Park, Uganda, stop reproducing, yet survive for more than a decade afterwards, spending at least a quarter of their adult lives in a post-reproductive phase. Most animals reproduce for as long as they live. So when females stop producing offspring long before death, as humans do, it poses an evolutionary puzzle. Why give up the chance to have more offspring? Until now, this so-called post-reproductive lifespan has been clearly documented only in humans, a few whale species, and a population of chimpanzees. With world leaders set to gather in Brazil for COP30 in November, new analysis from an international team of climate policy experts warns that carbon offsets are creating a critical barrier to achieving the Paris Agreement's temperature targets. The authors argue policymakers need to act on the evidence and phase out offsets from government-run carbon pricing schemes. Offsets distract from the critical task of ending fossil fuel use. By allowing low-quality credits into carbon pricing schemes, governments jeopardize the benefits of carbon pricing and effectively allow private credit sellers to collect what should be public revenue. Authors call on policymakers to phase out offsets from carbon pricing schemes and set progressively rising caps that require facilities to pay the government when unable to meet their obligations. They also argue that companies should focus on cutting their own emissions rather than relying on offsets. a tiny worm that leaps high into the air, up to 25 times its body length, to attach to flying insects, uses static electricity to perform this astounding feat. Scientists identified the electrostatic mechanism this worm uses to hit its target and have shown the importance of this mechanism for the worm's survival. Higher voltage combined with a tiny breath of wind greatly boosts the odds of a jumping worm connecting to a flying insect. While the phenomenon of static electricity is little more than an annoying shock at the human scale, emerging evidence shows that static electricity plays a crucial role in the lives of many small organisms. In 2013, it was discovered that spider webs take advantage of the charge of flying insects to electrostatically ensnare them as they pass by. Other research has shown how electrostatics help bees to collect pollen, flower mites to hitch rides on hummingbirds, and balloon spiders to drift on silk strands over long distances. Climate change is making India's monsoon wetter and wilder, with longer dry spells and more extreme downpours. The Indian summer monsoon, which delivers about 80% of the country's annual rainfall, usually sweeps in from the Arabian Sea in early June and retreats at the end of September. This year, the monsoon arrived a week early, the fastest onset in 16 years. An early start does not necessarily translate to higher rainfall totals. The modest 8% above average rainfall hides the real story that many regions experienced unusually intense and frequent downpours. In the Himalayan village of Darali, for instance, a cloudburst in early August triggered flash floods that left the local market buried under sediment as high as a four-story building. Most parts of the village were completely washed away. Scientists suspect melting glaciers and cloudbursts, both linked to a warmer climate, were to blame. In Punjab, a state of 30 million people often called India's food bowl, heavy rains drowned crops across 23 districts of the state. And in the east, the huge city of Kolkata received 13 inches of rain in a day, more than half of what London gets in a whole year. Remnants of a powerful typhoon swept into western Alaska's Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta on October 12th, producing a storm surge that flooded villages as far as 60 miles up the river. The water pushed homes off their foundations and set some afloat with people inside. More than 50 people had to be rescued in Kipnuk and Quigilingok. Hundreds were displaced in the region, and at least one person died. Typhoon Halong was an unusual storm, likely fueled by the Pacific's near-record warm surface temperatures this fall. Bears have killed a record number of people in Japan this year. Bears are hungry because of shortages of food such as acorns, which has been blamed on climate change, and are encroaching more into towns where the human population is aging and dwindling. Experts say that warmer weather is also affecting the hibernation patterns of the animals. These brown bears can weigh more than 1,000 pounds and outrun a human. The new total of 7 deaths in the current year is the largest toll since 2006, when statistics started. And now, the sounds of extinction. The slender-billed curlew. The slender-billed curlew is an extinct species of curlew native to Eurasia and North Africa. The majority of the former population bred in the Kazakh steppe and was migratory, formerly wintering in shallow freshwater habitats around the Mediterranean. This species has occurred as a vagrant in Western Europe, the Canary Islands, the Azores, Oman, Canada, and Japan. Little is known about their breeding biology, but the few nests observed had 4 eggs. The last well-documented nest was found in 1924 near Tara in Omsk Oblast, Siberia. After a long period of steady decline, the slender-billed curlew became extremely rare by the late 20th century, then thought to be fewer than 50 adult birds, with the last verified sighting from Morocco in 1995. In November 2024, the species was declared globally extinct. And hear the sound of the slender-billed curlew.
Includes Earth Riot Radio for the day. This is Reverend Billy, and I just want to thank Jason Candler, our editor. I want to thank Savitri D, the reporter from the news, from the natural world. And this last song you just heard, Laura Newman and Nehemiah Luckett from the Stop Shopping Choir. This is a report on a pipeline battle that we were engaged in, singing on the shoreline of the Hudson River. And thank you to Jessica Resnicek, defender of water. Water is life. Did we ever stop the Dakota Access Pipeline? I think we did something. We're glad you're out of prison. Welcome back. Well, water is sacred. Thank you, everyone. Earthaluya.